I'd like to thank your minister for the opportunity to come and to simply share with you tonight just what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me and what the Lord Jesus Christ means to me. The psalmist said, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit." And where he was found was in an horrible pit. And of course, that reminds us of the pit where God finds each and every one of us. It's the pit of our sin. I want to tell you the beginning of my story is way back on the 6th of August, 1948. Now, you have too few fingers and toes to count that back. But nevertheless, on that day, the 6th of August, 1948, I was born the youngest son of a family of five. There were five of us. In actual fact, we were just nearly all born around the same time because between the five of us, there are 4 years, 7 months, and 6 days. That's between the five. And certainly were just little steps and stairs. There were no twins in that. We were all just simply one after the other. I always kept my brother and sisters going because I said whenever I came, my dad said to my mother, "Sadie, thank God we got the one we're looking for all the time." And they said, "Of course he wasn't, didn't say." I said, "You know he said that." But nevertheless, of course, I was only joking. But my brother was the eldest and I was the youngest. There were three sisters in between. We were reared on the farm outside Stewartstown on the Coke Road. And there we were raised in the upbringing of a good farm family circle. I thank God for that upbringing. And I thank God for the goodness of God in bringing and raising me in that home. Now, my mom and dad, when I was born, were not saved. They weren't Christians. But, of course, they had a godly background. My father had a very godly father, a very godly mother. And they both know and love the Lord Jesus as their Savior. I was called after my grandfather, William McRae. He was the foundation elder in the church, the Presbyterian church, beside us at home. And indeed, he was a fervent person who believed in the Lord's Day and the attendance of God's house and gathering round the Word of God and encouraged every one of his family to do likewise. My grandfather, I never had the privilege, however, of meeting any of my grandparents. My grandmother and grandfather and my mum's side and my dad's side were all dead before I was born. And I honestly do, as a grandparent, I believe I miss something special. To be able to sit on a grandfather, grandmother's knee and to experience their love and their affection for their grandchildren. But of course, God had planned it a different way and my grandparents were gone before I was born. My father and mother would remind, of course, the heritage that I did have. My grandfather, one night, it was said that he, as an old man, he had a dream, or he said it was a vision he had. An angel appeared at the bottom of his bed, and the angel said that God was going to call one of his family, one of his sons, and the Lord was going to take him home. God was going to give him 7 years more. Whenever he woke in the morning, perhaps a little troubled by that message that he received that night, he told it to the family, and of course they said, just, well, young men see visions and the old men dream dreams. And so therefore, they said that that's, of course, it'll be either a vision or a dream. But nevertheless, it wasn't reality. But however, it was reality. Shortly after that, my Uncle John, again, I'd never met him. My Uncle John fell from the back of a horse and fell on the ground and he broke his neck. And John was taken home to glory. I said he was taken home to glory because Uncle John also was saved. He said these words before he died. He said, "There is a happy land far, far away, but it's not far away for me now." And he went home to be with Jesus. 7 years later, my grandfather was sitting in the kitchen. My father was out planting turnips at that time in the field, on the farm. And my grandfather called him in at the lunchtime and he said, "Bob, hurry up and finish the field, for I can hear the shepherd calling." 7 years, yes, later, God called Grand to home that day. Whenever my father came in, Granddad went home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. On my mother's side, my grandmother was a believer. She raised 8 children. And whenever those children were young, Granny was taken away from that family and left them without a mother. The eldest girl, she took the place of mother. But you know, before my granny died, the night before she died, and they were sitting there just waiting for the visitation of death down in the heart of Arbow near the Loch Shore. That's where my mom was from. And they were waiting there in that little home. And then they heard singing. They went down into the room, or into the hallway, from the kitchen into the hallway to look into the room. And there was my granny pulled herself up on the bed in her weakness. And she was singing at the top of her voice the words of a lovely gospel hymn. We have heard a joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the glad news all around, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Friend, I've often thought about that. Because the verse says, climb the hills and cross the waves onward to our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. I never saw my granny. But I did what she sang about that night. I climbed the hills of Peru. I crossed the muddy waters of the Amazon. And there, whether it was in the Amazon or whether it was in Peru, whether it was in Romania or the Philippines, whether it was in Australia or New Zealand, whether it was in Ulster, here in my homeland, I did what my granny sang that night. I climbed the hills, I've crossed the waves, and I've told them the same message that I'm telling you that my granny sung about. Jesus saves. And friend, that's what the only thing that counts tonight is to know the Savior. I don't care who else you know. I don't care who else that you may feel is important, because the greatest thing and the greatest knowledge is to have the knowledge of your sins forgiven and to know that you have got peace with God through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My granny passed into the presence of the Savior and left 8 little children. The youngest of that family was a young girl, and she took ill too. And then one night, the angel of death visited the home again, called that little girl, without a mother, called her into the presence of Jesus. My aunt that took the mother's place in that home, one of the names used, they called her, wasn't her name, she was Vina, but they called her Sissy. And my aunt Sissy was there, and they were gathered round the little girl's bed. And then in the midst, before the angel of death came, she rose up and she threw her arms around my aunt's, her sister's neck, and she said these words, "Ah, Sissy, heaven's lovely. Good night, Sissy. Good night." And that little girl, little child, went home to be with Jesus Christ. She saw a vision of heaven, and she said it was lovely. The words of a child. You know what the Word of God says? Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, what God hath prepared for them that love him. And so I was brought up with that background. Yet my mom and dad were not saved. We were sent to Sunday school and church every Sunday. In actual fact, in our church, whenever you turned to Sunday school for 5 years without missing one Sunday, they give you a little bronze medal. Now, it wasn't really bronze, but nevertheless, it was a bronze color medal. And if you attended 5 years without missing one Sunday, you got a bronze medal. The five of us got our bronze medal. Whenever you attended 10 years without missing one Sunday, you got a little silver medal. And friend, the five of us got our silver medal too. 10 years without missing a Sunday. In actual fact, I did miss one Sunday, and I had to do a full year to make up for it, because there had to be 10 years without missing a Sunday. And the Sunday, I was in hospital getting my tonsils out, and they wouldn't give me the year for that, even though I was in hospital. So nevertheless, I did the 11 years and one day and one Sunday in hospital without those other years without missing one Sunday. But you know, friends, with all of that attendance, it didn't get me to heaven. It's not my passport to glory. You could come to church, and a good Bible-believing church, and still not be saved. What an awful tragedy. What an awful thing to go to a lost eternity and go out into a Christless hell, having heard the gospel over and over again. But the sad reality was this. The minister didn't preach the gospel. Yes, we went Sunday after Sunday. We sat faithfully there. I was in the choir. We sat in the choir box. We did everything we were requested to do. Sunday school and church. Church loyalty and all of these things. And still, He never preached the gospel. But I had a faithful Sunday school teacher. Joan told us very faithfully that we were sinners. She told us that our sin would separate us from God, not only for time, but separate us from God for all eternity. She told us about the cross, how that Jesus died for sinners, how that Christ shed his precious blood to take away our sin, to cleanse us from our sin. And so Joan told us that our need was to know Jesus and to receive him as our Savior. She told us about not only his death, but about a glorious resurrection. And then she would tell us about his coming again. I remember quoting that little verse, two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. And friends, you talked about that separation, even in families. But it's an eternal separation. Those who were ready would go in with him. But those that are not ready will go into a Christless eternity, into a Christless hell. And friend, God really spoke to my heart through Joan's faithful Sunday school teaching. And God wrote that word upon my heart. But I still wasn't saved. And then one night there was a gospel mission. And my brother went to the gospel mission conducted by the late Edmund Sanford. He was a CWU evangelist. Edmund Sanford preached the gospel faithfully. And that night I remember lying up on my mum's, just along my mother's bed. And we're waiting on my brother coming home. He came into my mum's room and he said, "Mommy, I have something to tell you." I said, "What is it, son?" He said, "Mommy, I've got saved." And that night, friend, God really struck to the heart of my mother because she knew she needed to be saved. Her mother was saved. Granny and Granda McCrae, they were saved. But my mother wasn't. And whenever my brother said those words to my mother, this is what she said to him. She says, "Son, I'll help you the best I can." But you know, God spoke to my mother through her own words. Because God said to her, "How can you help him to live the Christian life when you're not a Christian yourself? How can you help him in his walk with God when you're not walking with God and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior?" And God really started to convict my mother about her need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, shortly after that, there was a little, just beside us at home, there's a little Kirtlassen mission hall. Leonard Ravenhill, the late Reverend Ravenhill, the preacher, came to that little mission hall to preach the Word of God. We as a family, except my father, my mother and five children, we went to the meeting. The meeting was filled. And that night, Leonard Ravenhill preached faithfully the Word of God and told once again the story of the cross and how that Jesus died for sinners. And God so loved sinners that he gave his darling son and he sent him to the cross to shed his precious blood to take away our sin. That night, God drew graciously near. I was sitting beside my mom, but I didn't know what was going on in her heart. Came to the end of the meeting, the appeal was made. And when the appeal was made that night, my mother, as her head was bowed, said this to God. She says, "God, if somebody else comes, I'll come too." But no sooner had she said that, Leonard Ravenhill said this, "God bless you, little girl." The little girl in front of my mother had raised her hand to indicate her desire. She wanted to come to Jesus. And the Spirit of God said to my mother, "Now remember your vow. There's somebody else. Will you come too?" And that night, my mother gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, what a wonderful change in my mother's life. Thank God she became, in a moment, a new creature in Christ Jesus. And from that night, my mother, she just really loved the Lord. Now, as we were going down the road that night, going down home, let me explain, our family. My father never believed in going to bed the same day as he rose. He believed to work nearly every hour that the Lord gave him. But we would go also out for our kele late at night. And when you say that, young people wouldn't know what that is. But out to visit my mother's people. Now, most of them were not married, and so therefore, they lived down in Arbow. And whenever we're coming down the road, the car was coming up. That was my father coming to meet us. And we were going out down to my aunt and my uncle's house. When my mother saw it, she said, "Don't tell your daddy. Don't tell your daddy what happened tonight." And of course, we of course said, "Mama, that's all right. We'll not say anything." We got into the car, packed into the car, and there was four of them in the back, and my mother was sitting in the front, my dad was in the front, and I was sitting on my mom's knee. And something my father never did, friend. My father said, "Were there many at the meeting tonight?" He never usually inquired about the meetings, but that night he did. He said, "Were there many at the meeting tonight?" She said, "Yes, the place was full, Bob." Well, he says, "Did anybody get converted tonight?" And I looked at my mother, and the other ones were sitting looking at each other, and we're sitting there just like little lambs, not opening our mouths because my mother said, "Don't tell your daddy what happened tonight." And you know, my mother said, there were a couple. There were two. He says, "Who were they?" And he never did this before. This was of God. He never did this before. He said, there was a wee girl got saved. And he says, "Right, and who is she?" My mother said, "Who's she?" Well, he said, "You said there were two. Who was the other one?" And my mother says, "Bob, the other one was me." And friend, let me tell you this, that started my mother testifying for the Lord. Because from that night to the night that God called, or the morning when God called my mother home, my mother never stopped witnessing for the Lord Jesus. Every mission I had, my mother testified in. She just loved to talk about Jesus. She loved to talk about her Savior and about what Christ had done for her. So my brother was saved, my mother was saved, and then my three sisters, in another mission conducted by our brother, Mr. Sanford, they gave their hearts to Christ. That left Daddy and me. Well, I remember one night, a mission outside Dungannon, Lachie, Dungannon. I remember there was another mission that Mr. Sanford was holding, and I went along to that mission. It was the 4th of June, 1957. That night, as I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, I still remembered what Joan had faithfully taught us in Sunday school. And to be honest, friend, I say this before God, my brother and I were in the same room. I slept in the same room at night. And I thought of those words, "Two shall be in one bed, one taken and the other shall be left. Two shall be grinding in the mill, one shall be taken and the other left." And I said, "Lord, my brother's ready, but I'm not." What an awful tragedy if I was left for judgment. You know, friends, God really touched my heart. I remember lying as a child, praying. Unsaved, but praying. And I said, "God, please don't let me die tonight. Lord, don't you come tonight. Because I'm not ready." The fear of God. The fear of meeting God, friend, unprepared, was in my heart. Are you here tonight unsaved? Tell me, have you any fear of God? Know what the Lord Jesus says. Don't fear him that can destroy the body. But I say unto you, fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. And yet we live in an age there's little fear of God. Man lifts their fist in the face of God Almighty. And they think that somehow they can defy him. I'm saying this to you tonight. Friend, don't be a fool. Don't take God on. You're not big enough. You're not big enough. And I remember as I was thinking about that night and that mission, and I was thinking about what Jonah told us about Christ's death on the cross and how he shed his blood and how that he rose again and how that he is coming again. And I thought about all of these things, and I heard the preacher that night preaching faithfully of my need of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in my heart that night I said, I want to be saved. that night, as a little child of 8, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I asked him to come into my heart. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." And that night, by the power of the Spirit of God, listen, my heart was really, the Spirit of God was speaking to me and dealing with me about my need of Jesus. And that night, by faith, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I called upon him. I was only a child, friend. But I took him on his word. I called upon him. I asked him to save me. And you know what he says in his precious word? Whosoever, thank God that took me in that night. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That night I called. I called with all my heart. The word call, it's a child's cry. That's what it means. And I cried out in my need as a sinner. And I asked the Lord to save me. You know what he said? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I didn't call on the preacher. I didn't call on the church. I didn't call on any. I call on the Lord. Let me tell you. Church will never save you. But thank God Jesus saves. And thank God Jesus still saves. For he's mighty. He's able to save to the uttermost. Listen, all that come unto God by him. And maybe you're here tonight and you say, "Well, listen, God couldn't save me." Yes, friend. His word says he is able to save to the uttermost. From the guttermost to the uttermost. You see, that's what David said. He took me from the fearful pit. From the gutter. The miry clay. He's able to save from the guttermost. There's not a man or woman too far gone tonight. You're not too deep in sin, but thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse you from all your sin. He is able. Remember that. He is able. You're not able to save. I can't save you. Brother Abernethy can't save you. The church can't save you. The elders can't save you. Your family can't save you. Jesus can. For he is able to save to the uttermost all that come. Now the devil says, "But you're not in that verse." Yes, you are, friend. He's able to save all that come unto God by Christ. And if you come through Christ alone and rest your soul upon the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross, thank God he's covenanted to save you. He's covenanted to save you. You know, the Bible says, "And a God who cannot lie." That doesn't lie. Cannot. It's absolutely impossible. It's impossible for God to lie. And the Word of God says that if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be, not might be, not hope to be, but shall be. Thank God it's dead on certain. You shall be saved. And here's a wee boy of 8 years of age, friend. And I called on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember a boy one time away over in America said there was this little man that was in the meeting, and he was in the meeting, and then he came to Christ, and he wanted to join this church. And they called him in, and they said to him, "Well, I want to hear what your testimony." Well, he says, "Eyes and the Lord did it together." And the old elder looked over his glasses, and the preacher, he looked over his, and he says, There's not much hope here." And the wee boy says to me, he says, "Eyes did the sinning, and Jesus did the saving." And friend, that's it. He's the only Savior. He's a God mighty to save. And he's able to save to the uttermost. And that night, a little child called upon the name of the Lord. And thank God that night I was saved. And set ready for heaven. Saved through Jesus' blood. That was the 4th of June, 1957. Yes, he drew me from the fearful pit. Thank God he didn't leave us in our sin. But thank God he brought us. Notice this. He brought me up also out of the fearful pit. I didn't bring myself up. But he did. The Lord did it. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to save you, friend, tonight. I don't care how deep in sin you are. I don't care how dark your sins have been. I don't care what your past has been. The blood of Jesus Christ, the Word of God says, cleanseth from all sin. Maybe somebody has given up on you. They think you're too far gone. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from all your sin and make you clean. What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You see, it says, He brought me up also out of that fearful pit, out of the miry clay. Thank God He didn't leave us in the muck and the mire. He didn't leave us in our sin. Thank God He brought us out of the pit of our sin. And then it says, He set our feet upon a rock. You know, not only did He bring us up, but thank God He set us up. He set our feet upon a rock. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4 says, and that rock is Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Yes. Friend, He's able to. The hymn writer says, it's no secret what God can do. What He did for me, He can do for you. He can save you, friend. Will you call on Him? Will you ask Him? He's mighty to save. He's able to save to the uttermost. If you come by faith. Now that left one of our family unsaved. That left my dad. My dad was a committee member of the Presbyterian Church. He went to church every Sunday. My dad was the master of the Orange Lodge. In actual fact, he was master of the Orange Lodge for 20 years. My grandfather was the master of the lodge for 20 years before that. Every 1st of July, they paraded from Stewartstown, the 2 miles out to our home. On the 1st of July, the local lodge paraded out there. And the people from the town at that time would gather out with them, and they would sit around the lawns at home, and my father would bring them into the band into the house and lodge into the house and give the band a check to help them on their way for the year that was coming. And then they would be back to the town. The 12th of July came. My father was the master. I was his deputy. For I was just sitting, was standing beside him. I would walk beside him. And I thought that I was the bee's knees whenever I was walking beside my dad on the 12th morning when we sashed on me. But friend, let me tell you, my father was the master of the lodge. But he wasn't saved. Ah, yes. He said he belonged to not only a loyal order, but Christian order. But he wasn't saved. He's a committee member in the church. He wasn't saved. You know, whenever the parade was over, he never allowed anybody to drink while they were in parade. But you see, after the parade was over, my dad and I would separate. And I went back to my mom, and I went back to the rest of the family. And Sherston sat there in the car, waiting, waiting, waiting for Dad to come. About 11 o'clock at night, we still had the milking to do. Still had the feeding of the calves to do, and much to do, but my father was in George Forrest's pub. George Forrest was the MP in Mid-Ulster at the time. My father went to the pub. I remember going to the door and knocked the door and said, Daddy, come on. We've got to go. Would you tell my daddy to come out? But he didn't come. Remember us walking out the road for over 2 miles, a mother and 5 children, to get the work done. Had to leave Daddy behind. But friend, one night, something happened. It was the month of May, 1959. My father would go out to the pub. I remember my mum and the family all gathering around mum and dad's bed. We cried to God to save my daddy. to save him from his sin. Mr. Sanford was holding another mission. This time it was outside, well, between Searson and Coke. It was Ballymaguire Old Schoolhouse. It was the last night of the mission. We all went to it, Sunday night. Mr. Sanford made the final appeal. My dad got up. Oh, we prayed for him, that God would stop him, that God would change him, that God would save him. I remember well walking down to the car. My father made his way down first, and we were following afterwards. A cousin of mine, a niece of my father, walked up to my mum and said, "Aunt Sadie, I want to speak to Uncle Bob." We stepped back. Hazel stepped into the car, sat down in the mother's seat. Said something like this, "Uncle Bob, the final night of the mission. Another mission. The family saved. All but you." And she begged that he would come to Christ. And after some time, the door opened and Hazel stepped out, and the door opened and my father stepped out. And they walked together back to that old schoolhouse. And Mr. Sanford led my dad to Christ. And friend, that night, I got a new daddy. The Lord changed him completely. I remember whenever we'd cross the fields bringing in the hay, we'd go out in the tractors, the baling had been done, we'd go to collect the hay. I remember as a family, the two tractors going side by side. Some of us were in one, some in the other. My father was driving one, my brother was driving the other. I remember singing, "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more. And the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved on earth shall gather over on the other shore." And then we came to the last line. "And the roll is called up yonder. We'll all be there." When is our family here tonight? And friend, you can't sing that. The family's not united in Christ, for the family's broken. There are those who are saved and ready, and those that are not saved and not ready. There are those that are saved and going to heaven, but those that are not saved and going to hell. And let me tell you, one's as real as the other. And they're both forever. And those that go to heaven will never want back. And those that go to hell will never get back. They're there forever. Friend, what about you? And the roll is called up yonder, and it will one day. Our sister sat last Sunday night down there in the seat. She's in glory now. And one by one our seats will empty, and one by one we'll go away. And here the circle will be broken. Tell me. Be honest, friend. Don't fool yourself. Will the circle be complete one day? Or will Mum and Dad be in heaven in the presence of the angels and the presence of the Savior? And you in the darkness and the loneliness of hell without hope, without Christ, forever. You know, my dad's there now. And then 16 years later, my mom went too. And then shortly after that, my older brother getting ready for a funeral, dressing to go to a neighbor's funeral, standing to shave, and he dropped, and he's gone. Going to somebody else's funeral, friend. He didn't make it. But we went to his. I buried my brother on a Tuesday. I married my daughter on the Friday of the same week. Friend, it's a wonderful journey, this life, isn't it? And one day you're standing in the joys of marriage and song. And the next, in sorrow, in grief. What did David say? He says, there's but a step between me and death. That's all there is. Listen. Only a breath. Only a breath. Eternity. Friend, it doesn't matter how you die. It's not whether it's an accident. It's not whether it's a disease that takes you. It's not whether it's old age. Are you ready? For that's at all counts. 70 years ago, I stepped onto the stage of time. And from that night, the Lord saved me, and time's away tonight, and I'm not going to detain you. But listen, I look back over those years. It's been an amazing journey. I went to council way back in 1973. I was there for 37 and a half years. I went into the old Northern Ireland Assembly in 1982. I went into Parliament in 1983. Oh, and I went into prison in 1973 as well. But the Lord undertook, or 71, I went to prison, 71. Actually, Anne and I were married on the 25th of June. And I wasn't trying to get out of marriage. But on the 23rd of August, I went to prison. And I was there for 3.5 months for an orange parade. That's a part of my life. In 1988, my 40th birthday, I received a bomb. It wasn't a hoax. It was real. But God preserved my life. In 1994, it was the last hooray before the IRA ceasefire. They were to have their ceasefire at midnight on that night. But just their last action was planned to murder myself, my wife, and my children. But God spared us. The gunmen came, two of them. They had AK-47s. They sat outside our house waiting for me to return from church. The next day I was going to America. We as a family were going. I was about to go out of the church, and my policemen that were with me were about to take me down home, whenever one of my elders' wives said to me, William, you're going away for 2-3 weeks, and would you stop and give us a bit of your chat before you go? And friend, by that intervention, my life was spared. My wife and family went down to the house. They went into the house. One daughter, she ran up the stairs immediately, just threw off her clothes, was going down to get her some cornflakes or some Rice Krispies or something before she would go to bed. She went over to the window and looked out. Now, she didn't see anything. But sitting outside was that car with those two terrorists. And they thought she did see them. So they couldn't wait for me coming. They got out of the car and they riddled the house with 50 bullets and they fired straight to where my child was. Where she was standing, the bullet went through the window. Although it was bulletproof windows. But it took the window out. But thank God she was spared too. I look back over life. It's been a wonderful journey. I don't know what the future holds, but this I do. My times are in God's hands. I've seen the hand of God in the midst of great grief. My two cousins were murdered by the IRA. They were blown to bits. Rachel was 21. Robert was 16. And they were blown to bits. Another cousin was shot in the mobile home that he was living in. He was building a new house beside the mobile home. The terrorists came to the door. They rapped the door. He went to the door not knowing. The gunman was standing there and said, "Are you calling the lad by his name?" He said, "Yes." "Bye-bye, Derek." And riddled him. His little child was in the bunk bed, jumped out of the bunk bed and ran down to his daddy and put his fingers in to where the bullet holes were, trying to stop the blood from flowing out. But his daddy died. I've often wondered, why did God spare me? So close, so many times. And yet God spared me. Well, he spared me to tell you, you're in need of Jesus. I don't care what you have, friend. I don't care what you own, because I'm telling you this, you're going to leave it. And when you and I are carried out, rich or poor, we're carried out the same level, the same way. But it's where we're going that really counts. I remember I was in America. A television crew was asking me, did I ever have or meet the Queen? I said, yes. I have lunched with the Queen. I've had the privilege of standing in her presence so many times. He said, well, is that the greatest privilege you've had? I said, no. So tell us, what is the greatest privilege? I said, here's the greatest privilege. It's whenever I kneel with a sinner and I lead them to Jesus. That's the greatest honor, to lead a soul to Christ. Friend, what about you tonight? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If God was to call you from the scene of time tonight, will your family, your children be able to gather around your coffin and look in the face of Brother Abernethy, if he's your minister, and be able to say, Mr. Abernethy, Mommy's in heaven. or daddy's with Jesus. For friend, if they can't, no matter what you leave them, you'll leave them an aching heart. What an awful reality to be in hell. May God in mercy bring you to realization tonight. You need to be saved. You need to be saved from your sin. And here's the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of which I'm chief. He's able to save you. Will you call on him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for thy goodness to us. We thank thee for the simplicity of the gospel. But Lord, we are the sinners. But oh God, that thou hast provided in thy lovely Son, the Lord Jesus, a mighty Savior. And I pray that, Lord, if there be someone in this gathering tonight and they're not saved, maybe there's someone tonight that once walked with thee and they're far away from thee. They've gone away from thee. Perhaps maybe others don't know, but in their heart, they're away from thee. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that this is the night the backslider will come home and the sinner will come and be saved.